So, another story of how the sequester cuts have hurt scientific research. But will this be the new normal level of funding in Washington? Darren Samuelson is Politico's senior policy reporter, and he's with us now. Darren, is that message, first of all, of what we just heard, people complaining about what these cuts are doing to research, is that being heard in Washington?
It's being heard in Washington. It's been heard in Washington for many months now as these cuts kicked in back in March of this year. The messages come from the defense industry, from the scientists, from the health industry, from just a whole across the board. Everyone who relies on federal dollars has been seeing the effects slowly creep in. And as we now go into our next cycle in these ongoing budget battles, it's hurt in Washington, but actually finding a way out of it, it's still just as difficult to envision there being an agreement and trying to come to some sort of consensus that gets us out of this mess.
Well, tell us what's going on in the negotiations, or at least what we know right now. There's this committee that's trying to figure out whether they can come to an agreement on a longer-term budget solution that this committee was put together after the partial government shutdown. What do we know right now about what they're thinking?
We know very little, except that the bar of the expectations is very low. They have a couple more weeks until, I believe, the middle of December to reach some sort of an agreement. This is a conference meeting where the House and the Senate negotiators are trying to reach some sort of top-level dollar figures that can be used to write the budget for next year and keep the government from shutting down again in January. There are the same intractable issues that we saw leading to this fight 3 years ago remaining today. What should the level of tax cuts be? What should the levels for mandatory spending going forward be? How do we deal with the sequester, these across-the-board cuts? And these are all issues that Republicans and Democrats are really deeply entrenched in. And so as we get closer to the December deadline, these talks, they've had one public meeting already, and now they're kind of going on behind closed doors where you have Paul Ryan, the former vice presidential candidate, and Patty Murray in the Senate meeting, trying to come to some sort of a middle ground. And so far, we don't have any sense that they're any closer than they were before the shutdown or after the shutdown even just resolved.
And the latest government funding bill expires in January, which is when a new round of sequester cuts would take effect, unless they can come up with some way around that. What would the new round of cuts do?
Sure. Well, they would continue what we just saw here in this first year. I mean, we would see another $1.2 trillion. We were working our way toward $1.2 trillion over 10 years that will be cut out of the budget. So you would expect to see, again, the Pentagon making incremental cuts down the line, furloughing employees for some amount of time during the year. They were able to pull back on the overall amount of furloughs and the amount of days that people were sent home without pay, but there would certainly still be a large number of civilian employees who would probably be, getting some longer 3 and 4 day holiday weekends than they did, going back a couple of years ago before this happened. Same thing at federal agencies across the board, from the Environmental Protection Agency to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, where people would be sent home, and you would see again, just like you said in your last clip there, scientific research grants would continue to be, shrunk down. There'd be less money for forest firefighting. There'd be less money, for housing assistance. It hits across the board, and it just requires federal agencies to plan, with shrinking budgets as we go forward into not just next year, but 8 more years. This is law unless they can come up with some sort of way out of it.
And unless there's enough of a groundswell against it, in the minute or so we have left here, Darren, how much opposition to this is there? Because nobody likes sequester, but it doesn't sound like they like something else enough that they would get rid of it.
Exactly. The leading opponents to this at the start of the cycle or the start of these cuts was really the Pentagon and its most vocal advocates on Capitol Hill, whether it be the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Carl Levin, or John McCain, a very big defense advocate. They were the ones really speaking up about this, and you've actually heard fewer Republicans recently fighting this. They see this as an actual deficit control measure. And they're willing to take these cuts, even if they are painful, even if they're painful back home in their districts.
Yeah.
They're anticipating that it's just such a slow burn that people are not going to really see it in that obvious way that's going to actually hurt them politically.
Darren Samuelson, senior policy reporter at Politico, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Reputation.com with tools to help businesses and professionals manage online reviews and control search results. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. And Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry. Online at BrilliantEarth.com.